And we need the sunshine and we need the rain. And that's what we're getting from throughout the week. Well, this week I had the opportunity of house cleaning, preparing for the Days of Unleavened Bread. And in the past, Linda and I used to do it together, and I was reminiscing a little bit about Linda and how we did the preparation of the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, and brought back tremendous memories and blessings and joy as I was thinking about how we did that together. And growing up in the Church of God, it was definitely different, because the world around us was not keeping the holy days, and so we had to deal with situations that sometimes was difficult. And sometimes I remember going to school with matzos, and in the process everybody was looking at them and saying, "What kind of sandwich is that?" And I would explain it's matzos and it's unleavened bread, and I try to give them a little bit of understanding of what the days were about. Well, that went right over their head, and they said, "I don't want to do that." So I understood what our children sometimes go through when they're keeping the days of unleavened bread. But that's not what my subject is for today, not what we had to deal with, but rather I was thinking, 10 days from now, we'll be keeping the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. It's coming up very quickly. And as we're busy preparing for the days of unleavened bread, so many times we get caught up in the physical. And we think, okay, we got to get the house clean, we got to get the leaven out, we got to get rid of the trash where we dump our sweeper bags into, and get that all done before the Passover. And so we get so caught up sometimes in the physical preparation that we miss out on some of the spiritual preparation that we need to do. So I thought about that this week, and I was thinking, okay, am I getting so caught up in the physical and not thinking about the spiritual? And I have to say, yeah, it's been a very busy week. It's been a very busy month for me personally. So, yeah, it started taking me away from thinking about the spiritual process of what we're supposed to be doing as we prepare for the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. So I want to encourage you today. I'm going to give you some very basic points to encourage you on how we should approach the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. Now, some have said, well, I'm not baptized, and so I don't keep the Passover. I do keep the Days of Unleavened Bread, but I'm not baptized, so what can I do? What can I learn from the keeping of the Passover? Well, I think these points are very basic, and they're for everyone, not just for those who are baptized and will be participating in the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, but for our young people as well, to think about what these days are all about. Why God gives us the blessing, and it is a tremendous blessing to know what these holy days are all about. They're especially the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread are personally for you and for me in the meaning of them, which is very encouraging. And so because of that, I think we have to approach the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread with certain respect, with certain desire, and other characteristics that teaches us what these days are all about. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about how we're going to approach the Passover, how God expects us to approach the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. And I want to encourage you to think about these days, what they mean to God, and what they mean to us. And I think if we do that, we can approach the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread with joy and happiness, with thanksgiving, with humility, and most importantly, I feel, rededication and commitment to our calling that God has given us. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to start out with thanksgiving. Another term for thanksgiving is appreciation. How much do you appreciate the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread? I think we need to think about that as we approach the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. How much do you really appreciate, and how much do you give thanks to God for the meaning of what he did, especially Jesus Christ and God the Father? Both of them were willing to sacrifice Jesus Christ on our behalf so that our sins can be forgiven. What a tremendous gift from our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, who followed through on that commitment. We should be extremely thankful. We should be some of the most thankful people on the earth, because if he did not do that, if Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father did not plan out that for you and for me, our sins would not be forgiven, and we would receive the penalty of death, which is what Jesus Christ fulfilled for us. So we should be extremely thankful. So I'm going to turn to the Bible. The Bible is so much filled with encouraging words of how we should be thankful. And one of my favorite books, as you all know, is the books of Psalms. And we're going to turn to Psalm number 100. And we're going to read about how we should be thankful as we approach the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Psalm 100, we'll look at verse 4 and 5. It says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." So anytime we come before God, we should be coming for him with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and giving him praise and honor. "Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Notice verse 5. "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." What encouraging words from David here, a song of praise, that we can realize that we need to come before him in being thankful. Being thankful for the tremendous sacrifice and the commitment that Jesus Christ made for all of us. He did it also for all of mankind, but this time of the year, as we think about the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, we need to think about it personally, that he did it for you and he did it for me personally. What a tremendous blessing to know that, to understand the great love that our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ has for us, that he was willing to sacrifice himself, Jesus Christ, in our stead. And we should be truly thankful for that. The world's not thankful. They go on and do the things that they do. They don't understand the holy day plan that God has. But we've been very blessed to know that. Let's continue in the book of Psalms. Let's look at Psalm 107. And we'll look at verse 1. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And again, we understand out of his mercy that he allowed these days to be part of his plan for mankind, and particularly for us, for you and for me, that he created these days, especially the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Psalm 116, we're going to continue in the book of Psalms. Psalm 116, and we'll look at verse 17. "I will offer unto you the sacrifice of thanksgiving," and that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. And so we also should offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. "I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people." And so again, we should be truly thankful for the wonderful blessing that our Savior Jesus Christ did for us. And it's a mindset. We have to have it in our minds, not just only in the heart. It's very important that it's in our heart as well, but we also have to have a mindset that we are truly, truly thankful. Now let's go over to the New Testament. Let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God, our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And we have been blessed with heavenly blessings spiritually, knowing and understanding the plan that God has for each and every one of us. So this is a tremendous blessing. "According to that he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world." Now think about that. He chose us before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So he knew that in the very beginning that he was going to call us and give us the opportunity of being in his kingdom. And he has given us the opportunity to know the plan that he has for mankind. Verse 5, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." So he considered us a good pleasure, according to his will, to call us, to give us the opportunity to know and have a relationship with him and Jesus Christ. Verse 7, "In whom we have the redemption through his blood," which was the blood Jesus Christ was willing to sacrifice. We have the redemption for the forgiveness of sins, which we all did. We all sinned. Now, many people say, I don't remember sinning. Well, the Bible's very clear about that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we can fall in that category. But the key here, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins. So our sins have been forgiven because Jesus Christ, through his blood sacrifice, was able to forgive our sins according to the riches of his grace. And it is tremendous riching, blessing that we have to know that. And we should truly, truly be thankful for that. Now, I know we can praise God and give him thanks through our prayers, but we should be thanking him throughout the day, not just when we pray at our set times that we set aside to pray to him, but throughout the day we should be thankful. And thinking about what the Passover is all about and what the Days of Unleavened Bread is all about and the tremendous sacrifice that he gave us so that we can be forgiven of our sins. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And we'll read verse 7. And here, again, some instructions for us as we think about the Days of Unleavened Bread, the Passover that we'll be partaking of in 10 days, which is very quickly coming. It says in verse 7 of 1 John 1, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And so the Passover keeping is also a communion of fellowshipping with one another. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So as we participate in the Passover, we realize that we are participating in a union with Jesus Christ and one another. It's a wonderful blessing again. If we say we have not sinned, which I talked about earlier, some people think, well, I haven't sinned, or I haven't sinned for a long time. There's so many ways that we sin we don't even think about it. We deceive ourselves, it says, and the truth is not in us. So we have to be careful as we think about, you know, I haven't sinned. Yes, we have sinned. We've all sinned. We've all fallen into that short of keeping the law of God and being obedient. The lust of the flesh is out there. Temptations is Satan is very clever. But notice it says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can come before the Passover cleansed, to be restored, to be righteous once again in the sight of God. In verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So we have to think about, and that's why we examine ourselves before the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. Do we have sin in our lives? Are we still struggling with sin? Are we still falling in the same sins over and over and over again? It can happen, brethren. Sometimes the Passover can be discouraging, but I don't want it to be discouraging. And I don't want you to be discouraged if you find yourself struggling with sin in your life. The Bible encourages us to be thankful because Christ fulfilled that for us and says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. So we do have to examine ourselves before we take the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. We have to think about where in my life have I struggled and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we do find sins in our lives, and we will find leaven, little bits of leaven in our lives. It could be the way we think, the way we act, the way we talk. So there is leaven in our lives, but we have to take the leaven out of our lives and ask God to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's part of the joy as well and the thanksgiving to know that God will reveal to you personally what you need to overcome. Now, it's not easy, brethren. Overcoming is one of the toughest things that we can face in life, but it is one of the most rewarding things in life if we're willing to do that. And most importantly, we need to be thankful as we approach these days and to realize without God, without Jesus Christ in our lives, we are nothing. And we would be just like everyone else in the world, just taking it day by day and week by week and year by year and falling into the lust of the flesh of the world. But we've been blessed. We've been truly blessed. And that's why we should be very, 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 and I emphasize the word very, because it's so important to be thankful and to let Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father know. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll look at 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll look at verse 57. I'm going to go back to this 1 Corinthians a little later, but I want to refer to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, the Bible encourages us, be thankful. Be thankful. Give God the thanks for the victory that he has given us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice. Now think about that. What a tremendous sacrifice that he did. What a blessing to know that he was willing to follow through with that commitment. Now, he didn't have to. If God wanted to design the plan for mankind in a different way, he could have. But he knew that mankind needed to be forgiven. And he also knew that by the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins needed to be forgiven. And so the plan of God starts from the very beginning for each and every one of us. And that's why it's so important to be thankful and to give thanks to God, because he does give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to refer one more scripture while we're talking about Thanksgiving. There's so many scriptures to read about Thanksgiving in the Bible, but the point is we need to be thankful. It's as simple as that. We need to be thankful, and as we approach the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, let's let God know how thankful we truly are. Let's turn to Psalms 102 again. And we'll look at verse 18 and 20. 18, it says, and I like this scripture. When I read this, I was thinking about this. This is encouraging for all the generations yet to come. It says here in verse 18 of Psalms 102, this shall be written for the generations to come, that the people shall be created, shall praise the Lord. For he looked down from the heights of his sanctuary, from the heavens, and did the Lord behold the earth he created, to hear the groanings of the prisoners, to loose those that are appointed to death. Brethren, that's where we were. We were appointed to death. And Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and our Heavenly Father, came up with a plan that we would no longer be sentenced to death. And it's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that he made. And that's why it's so important for us to be thankful. Not take it for granted. The Passover can come and go so quickly and not even think about thanks. So let's think about it ahead of time. Let's think about before we go to the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. Let's think about how thankful you are and how thankful I am that Jesus Christ was willing to do that. That's one of the characteristics we need to have as we approach the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. The second one is humility, or another term is meekness that has been referred to. I think Jesus Christ set a wonderful example, and we'll hear about that at the Passover with the washing of the feet. I'm not going to refer to that specifically today because we'll talk about that at the Passover. But he set an example. I do want to refer that his example of humility, that he was willing to do that. And he says, you saw what I did, now you do it as well. And so he encourages us to have humility, to be willing to be humble. And the Bible talks a lot about humility, the approach of coming before him, humbled, appreciative, as we were talked about earlier, being thankful, and realizing that without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, pride, the lust of this world, and all the things that keeps us from being humble can be part of our lives. But when we think about the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, it should humble us. It should make us think, you know, how rewarding, how blessing that we have that. And one of my favorite scriptures is over in 2 Chronicles. So if you want to turn there. 2 Chronicles. And it's one of my favorites, chapter 7. And I think about this throughout the year, but especially now as we're approaching the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, I want to encourage you to think about Second Chronicles chapter 7, and we'll look at verse 14. There's even been written songs to this verse in the Bible, and it's one of my favorite songs that sometimes I'll sing throughout when I think about this verse. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves," and that is what we need to do, brethren, to humble ourselves, "and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." So this is a promise from God that if we're willing to humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, and turn from our wicked ways, that he will bless us, that he will hear from heaven and give and forgive our sins. And so humility is very important as we approach the days of unleavened bread, and particularly the Passover, to realize we need to be humble. And if we're willing to do that, he will hear us, because he said he's proud of the humble, for those who are humble. And he seeks those who are willing to be humble. Well, there's many scriptures that refer to humility. Micah is another one. I'm going to refer to Micah. We'll look at Micah chapter 6. And let's look at verse 8. Again, these are words from God through various individuals that's been recorded in the Bible who spoke the words of God and the encouragement of it. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good." And so again, these are encouraging words to remind us, what is good? What does God expect of us as we prepare for the Passover in the days of unleavened bread? Notice what it says. "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you?" So not just anybody, but specifically you. He pinpoints you. What does God require of you? Notice what he says. "But to do justly." So we need to do justly, to love mercy. And God has given us mercy. And we need to be willing to love that. And notice it says, "and to walk humbly with your God." So as we prepare for the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, we need to think about what is good. What does God require of us? He says he wants us to do justly. He wants us to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. And so, again, humility is a big part of preparing for the Passover in the days of unleavened bread and how we should approach the Passover in the days of unleavened bread. Let's look at Colossians over in the New Testament. We'll look at Colossians chapter 3. And this is a multitude of characteristics that we need to put on as we think about the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Colossians 3 verse 12 says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy." So before we approach the Passover, we need to think about bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, which we're talking about now specifically, humbleness or humility, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If we go into the Passover not willing to forgive someone that we have a quarrel, it says, if any man has a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, we also need to be willing to forgive. And that's part of examining ourselves. Is there anyone that we're upset with? Is there anyone that we dislike? Is there anyone that we don't want to have anything to do with? If we have that in our heart, we need to put that out. That's part of examining ourselves. And think about, go to the example in Matthew 18. I'm just going to refer to that. I'm not going to turn there. It tells us we go to our brother if we have a dispute. We need to do that before we go to the Passover. We can't go to the Passover in humility before Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father if we have hatred towards somebody or anger or bitterness towards someone. And that's why it's so important that as we approach the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, we go to individuals that we may find ourselves dealing with and have a humbleness of approaching the individual and say, I'm sorry, I have a wrong approach and attitude towards you. And get that resolved before you take the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. So we need to consider that as well. Now, hopefully we don't. Hopefully that's not an issue. But I know in the past there's been bitterness and anger and hatred towards individuals because of various reasons. And that's wrong. But, you know, Satan uses that as an advantage to get individuals to look at individuals with despite, with anger, with bitterness towards them. And he uses that to his advantage because he knows if he can get you to dislike somebody because of something they may have did to you or something they did to someone else, Satan wins the battle. We're no longer humble, but rather we're angry, we're bitter. And the Bible says if we hate somebody in our heart, that we hate, it's like murder. And so it's something we have to take very seriously as we approach the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Do we have anger, bitterness towards anyone? And again, I hope not. But if you do, and sometimes situations come up, ask God to give you the strength, the courage, and the ability to go to that brother or that sister and ask for forgiveness for your attitude towards them. It's not going to be easy, brethren. I want you to realize it's not an easy act to go to somebody that has hurt you greatly. But you have to do that. If you're going to be humble, if you're going to come with humility before Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father for the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, we have to do that. That's one of the things we have to put as a priority before we approach the Passover. And when you do, if you've ever done it before, and I've done it, I've had bitterness towards an individual in the past, and in the past I've done that principle of going to my brother. It reaped a tremendous blessing for me and for the individual, because the individual was wrong for doing what he did, and he apologized to me, and I apologized to him for my attitude towards him. And I learned a valuable lesson. And I want to encourage you, brethren, don't let anger, bitterness, hatred dwell in your heart, because it will ruin you. It will destroy you. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to endure. And he wants us to be able to go to our brother at any time there's an offense. As Matthew 18 tells us, go to your brother and try to get it resolved. Now, I realize there are circumstances sometimes you just can't get it resolved. But if you put forth the effort, if you do your part, that's all that God expects, is you to do your part. He can make it work, or if the other individual refuses to accept your apology, you've done what you're supposed to do. And it falls back on the other individuals if he's not willing to forgive you and ask for his forgiveness as well. So that's something that, again, we need to consider, our attitude of humility, to be willing to go to our brothers when we have discrepancies there. 1 Peter, let's look at 1 Peter. I enjoy the book of Peter. Many valuable lessons we can learn from the books of Peter, 1st and 2nd. We'll look at chapter 5 of 1 Peter, and we're going to look at verse 4 and 7. 4 through 7, actually, starting in verse 4. And again, this is one of our great hopes that we have and that we're looking forward to. It says, verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, and that's Jesus Christ, our chief shepherd, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. And that's our great hope, looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ and setting up the kingdom of God and receiving the crown of glory. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. And so we need to be humble towards one another. For God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. And that's why it's so important as we approach the Passover and the days of unleavened bread that we need to be humble. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. So we're not doing it as a show to other people, but rather we're doing it under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So yes, it is a humbling experience to go to somebody, but we will be exalted in the end. It says, verse 7, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And through the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, this is one of the ways Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father shows that he cares for each and every one of us, that he cares very much for us. And he's looking forward to the kingdom that's being established. I want to refer one more scripture to humility and meekness. That's over in Philippians. If you turn back to Philippians, we'll look at chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 3 through 11. And I find encouraging words here for all of us as we consider humility. We examine ourselves and see if we're humble and that we're approaching the Passover and the days of unleavened bread with humility. It says, let nothing be done, verse 3, through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind, let us esteem others better than themselves. So if you're going to be humble and come before Jesus Christ at the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, you're going to look at others, esteem them greater than yourself, and that you're going to give them the glory. Look not on every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So think about others, and think about other individuals. Verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was thinking of others when he was being crucified and sacrificed for his forgiveness of our sins. He wasn't thinking of himself. He was thinking of others. He was thinking about their needs. Notice verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. And so he humbled himself. Jesus Christ humbled himself, setting the example for us to be humble, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What a tremendous act of love and humility that Jesus Christ set for us to follow and examine as we think about humility. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So God the Father was well pleased with the humility of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, it says that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and of things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord in glory of the God Father. So again, Jesus Christ set the example of humility. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to come before him in humility, to realize we're frail, we're weak, we can stumble and fall and fall into temptation. But through humility, we can realize that God will lift us up and he'll give us honor and he'll give us glory. Not that we've earned it, but it's a gift from God. It's a wonderful gift. And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is a gift from God in Jesus Christ for each and every one of us. So we should be humble. We should be meek. We should be thankful. And most importantly, appreciative of these blessings that we have. One more area I want to talk about today, and I find it very encouraging as I was thinking about this throughout the week. I am thankful. I am meek in humility because I've suffered in many, many ways. As you all know, I've dealt with kidney cancer. I lost my wife, Linda, and it humbles you to realize the person that you were with for 50 years is no longer here. And so as I approach the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, I am thankful. I am truly thankful, and I'm very humbled to know that I had 50 years with Linda, and God blessed me greatly, and that humility is something I can hold on to. And I want you to hold on to humility and thankfulness as well. But I also thought about one more area that we need to consider, and it's rededication. Rededication and commitment. The Passover and the days of unleavened bread is a time of rededication and commitment to our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. And it brings me joy because I know Linda would want me to be part of the kingdom of God. And knowing that, I do tear up when I think about Linda. But it's the love that I have for her and the love that Jesus Christ has for each and every one of us to rededicate ourselves, to make us realize we made a commitment at baptism when we were baptized. We said that we would stay faithful, we would endure to the end, and we would not allow anything to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And that's why, as we approach the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, we need to rededicate ourselves. We need to recommit ourselves. There's lots of scriptures in reference to that. I'm going to refer to a few. Let's start in the book of Psalms, since that's one of my favorite books. I'd like to start there again. We'll look at Psalm 143. I was thinking about my baptism. I was baptized, Linda and I were baptized together in March 31st, 1973. That's 50 years that we were baptized together. And I was thinking, what a wonderful blessing to be able to say, 50 years, we tried to be faithful. We tried to be committed. We tried to endure hardship, yes. Love, yes. Blessings, absolutely. And it's encouraging, brethren, when you look back at for those who are baptized, your commitment, your rededication that you have to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, how important that is. And so think about your baptism when you were baptized. Think about that. You made a commitment. You made a dedication that you were going to be a servant of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, that you were going to do no matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens to us in this world. And it should bring zeal, joy, motivation, restoring us back in the favor of God. That should bring us thankfulness, appreciation, and it should give us humility. And so let's look at Psalms 143, and we'll look at verse 10. And as we're thinking about our dedication and our need to stay faithful, to endure to the end, I appreciate Tim's sermonette. It kind of fits into this latter part of my message. We need to wait. And in the process of waiting, we're told in verse 10 of Psalm 143, teach me to do your will. So as we approach God, we need to ask him, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. He is your God. He is my God. And we have the blessing to know that. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. And so rededication is so important as we approach these days with the Passover, the days of unleavened bread, a rededication of, teach me to do your will, our Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Ephesians. Now, there's a lot of scriptures in reference to this, but I will continue in various ways of expressing our dedication, our recommitment. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. This is encouraging, brethren. These are words of encouragement for all of us because God started something in us. He took us from a piece of dirt, picked us up, created us. And now it says in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. What encouraging words they are. God looked down from heaven and designed a creation of giving us life. Now, he didn't have to give us life. He had the angelic beings. I've said this before, and I will probably say this till the day I die. He didn't need us. He already had the angelic beings. He had a creation. But out of his love and his desire to expand his family, he given us life. Each and every one of us life. And he expects us to be faithful, to endure, to overcome whatever life throws at us. And it's not easy, brethren, when we're faced with challenges, but we need to walk according to our calling. and be faithful to that calling and be rededicated every Passover that comes around to remind us this is the way that God wants us to do and to follow. And so we should be rededicating ourselves with the Passover coming up very quickly. Let's look at Galatians. I want to look at Galatians 6. Verses 9 and 10. Because, brethren, sometimes leading up to the Passover, we think, I'm not worthy to keep the Passover. I'm not worthy. But we are, because our sins have been forgiven. So we are worthy to keep the Passover. And God expects us to keep the Passover in the days of unleavened bread. And it says in verse 9 of chapter 10 of Galatians, Galatians 6, verse 9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due seasons we shall reap if we faint not. For as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. But notice it says, especially unto those that are the household of faith. And so the household of faith is Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And so we need to continue to do what is right, to do what Jesus Christ set the example for us to do, to rededicate ourselves, to realize maybe I've slipped a little bit, maybe I've fallen a couple times. But when you fall, brethren, just like Jesus Christ says, when you fall, you pick yourself up, you brush yourself off and say, okay, I made that mistake, I won't make that again, and go forward. We're constantly moving forward, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in some of the scriptures that refers to that, that we can't let our sins become weary and wear us down, that we think, I'm not worthy to take the Passover. There have been people in the past, and I feel sorry that I heard about this, that refused to take the Passover in the days of unleavened bread because they felt they weren't worthy, that God would not fully forgive them of their sins. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he'll forgive us all our sins, not just some, but all of them. And so we need to be rededicated, committed, and don't ever get to the point where you become weary, to the point where you just give up. There have been individuals who have given up, just gave up the faith, gave up the teachings that they know are right, that are good, and walked a different way. And that's why, again, as we come to the Passover and we prepare for the Passover in the days of unleavened, we rededicate ourselves. We think about our lives. We think about the commitment we made at the baptism that we, each and every one of us that is baptized, experienced. And to realize we need to hold on to that and think about that as we approach the Passover in the days of unleavened bread. Philippians. Turn over to Philippians. We'll look at chapter 3 and verse 7. And again, this is for individuals sometimes. I'm going to refer to verse 6 because it talks a little bit about trials and circumstances that people face. Philippians 3, verse 6 says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Now, this was Paul he was referring. He was persecuting church, touching the righteousness which was in law blameless. But notice he says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. So as we can make ourselves evaluating our commitment, it says verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. So it's very graphic here, but count them as dung, that I may win Christ. So Paul knew, excuse me, he knew that he had sinned greatly, and that he needed to rededicate himself. He said, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So Paul came to realize that it was through Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father that we have the righteousness and that we are able to be dedicated. It says, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain the resurrection of the dead. It says, and we'll continue, not as though I have already obtained it, because we haven't. We're still working on our salvation. It was said to work out your salvation. Neither were already perfect. And we're not perfect, brethren. None of us are perfect. We're all working on it. We're all challenged every day. But I follow after. And if I have may apprehended that for which I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, notice verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended it, because we didn't. We didn't apprehend it. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before. And the important part, verse 14, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of our God, Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ. We're moving forward, brethren. We have to rededicate ourselves every day in prayer, Bible study, fasting, if we take the time to fast throughout our lives, different times, and meditation. These are the rededications that we each and every one of us have to do to remind us of our calling that God has given us, to remind us that we've been given a tremendous gift to know the blessing and to understand the plan for mankind and God has given us. We know in the forehand. Now, all of mankind will have the opportunity to know this, but we have the opportunity to know it now. And so we need to approach the Passover with rededication, recommitment, and faithfulness that we are going to endure our entire life, no matter what it takes. Additional scriptures, 2 Timothy. Let's look at 2 Timothy. We'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to read verse 13 and 14. Again, encouraging words to tell us we need to be commitment. We need to be committed to be faithful, to endure into the ways of God's teachings. Notice verse 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Hold fast the form of sound words. What are sound words? God's words are sound words, which has been heard of me in faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ. God has given us sound words. He has given us his truth. He has given us his understanding. He's given us the opportunity to be committed. That the good thing which was committed unto you, keep by the Holy Spirit, which dwells in us. Brethren, we can't do it ourselves. Those who think, you know, I did this or I did that, you're only kidding yourselves if you think you did it. It's the Holy Spirit dwelling in us that enables us to be able to be faithful, to be able to endure, to be able to make the commitment and follow through on that. These are encouraging words, brethren. I hope you find them encouraging. As I was preparing for the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, I was just thinking about all these wonderful gifts and blessings. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians. We turned there earlier. I'm going to refer back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's look at the last verse of this chapter. Again, encouraging words for our commitment, our rededication to Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. These words are encouraging. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, solid, be steadfast, unmovable, not shifting back and forth, falling, but always abiding in the work of the Lord, whereas you know your labor is not in vain. And we have a high calling that God has given us. It's something we should truly be thankful for. We should be humbled at the fact that God has given us this wonderful gift, wonderful blessing. And we should be rededicated and thankful to the point that we are committed. Again, there's so many scriptures. I'm going to refer to Matthew 25 that are encouraging words to remind us of our commitment that we've made. Matthew 25, and we'll look at verse 23. This is what we're looking forward to. If we continue to rededicate ourselves, we continue to be committed to obeying and doing the things that God wants us. It says in verse, I'm breaking into the thought here. Verse 23, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant, for you have been faithful over a few things. And we've all been faithful, hopefully, over a few things. But notice this, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And so God is encouraging us, stay dedicated, stay committed, stay faithful, continue to endure to the end. And I have a wonderful gift for you, the kingdom of God. What a wonderful blessing. And it all starts with the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread as a reminder of where our dedication is. What a wonderful, wonderful gift from God. We're going to turn back to Philippians 4. I know I'm all over the Bible today. As I was preparing, I was thinking, how do we stop? I had more scriptures that I'm getting to right now. I just want to present these words of encouragement and how God looks at the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread as well. Philippians 4, verse 13. And I think we need to hold this into our hearts when we read this scripture and in our minds, keep it in our minds. Verse 13 of Philippians chapter 4. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Again, let's remember where the source comes from. It doesn't come from our abilities. God has given us abilities, but our true abilities comes from the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father has given us. It enables us to be able to dedicate it and be committed to be faithful and endure to the end. So, brethren, as we approach the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, now, not all of us are baptized, and so some of us will not be participating in the Passover service, but you can still have certain characteristics in your thoughts and your minds of the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. Thoughts of thanksgiving, thoughts of appreciation, thoughts of humbleness, meekness, thoughts of rededication. And I think that's probably the most important, because so many have fallen away and turned from dedicating and the commitment of staying faithful. We can't allow ourselves to get caught up in the ways of the world. We have to be different. We have to be willing to face whatever consequences we face in life. And I want to leave you with one more scripture, but before I do that, I want to encourage you with our loving Father in Jesus Christ are looking forward to each and every one of us being in his kingdom, being part of it, being his spiritual family. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful blessing to know that we are God's children, that he has called each and every one of us. Many of us are growing in grace and knowledge. Many of us are slowly getting baptized, our younger people. I want to encourage you, stay faithful to God. I know some of you are not baptized yet, but your time at your calling, consider all that. And remember, that is how you receive God's Holy Spirit, which will enable you to be able to resist the devil and all the trials that he will give us. But most importantly, let's never, ever take for granted the blessings of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father has done for each and every one of us. Hold on to them dearly. Be thankful. Be humble. Stay humble. And most importantly, be dedicated and be recommitted if you've turned and fallen away. One more scripture I want to refer to is in Romans. Romans 15. And we'll look at verse 13. And I want to end with this because I thought it was just a good scripture to end on to remind us of the wonderful gift of the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread that we can look forward to. Romans 15, verse 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit, joy and peace in believing. We have to be believing. We have to be faithful, endure, that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, I hope you look forward to the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread with thankfulness, with meekness, and with rededication, because this is our life and this is our time.